verse. Let me see your hand. I love that verse. That verse has so blessed me beyond measure. When I get to thinking about tomorrow and I get to thinking about the future and I get to planning and preparing and so forth and so on, God reminds me, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with preparing for the future. In fact, James writes and says, as the Lord wills, we'll go to such and such a city. So he's not saying you should sit by idly, not preparing, but in the context of saying, the Lord wills I'll do this in the future. The Lord wills in 2017 we'll do this. But there's no need for us to be worried today. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient is the evil thereof. In other words, he's saying, and also if you zeroed in on verse 27 of the text, you'd find out that the Lord said this, there's no need for you to worry. Why are you worried? In fact, when we worry, he said you're not going to add 1 inch to your height when you worry. In the context of that word, you'll not add 1 cubic. The word indicates from the tip of your elbow to the tip of your finger, about 18 inches. You're not going to, and I'm not going to add one more day to our life by worrying. Why are we worried? Come to the Lord's table today and just say, Lord, I'm not going to worry because I know in whom I have believed. You know what? Our dog named Sadie worries. You got a dog? How many got a dog? Let me see your hand. I've got a dog. And you know what our dog worries about? You just let a thunderstorm come up. You just let a black cloud and a thunder start to roar and lightning start to flash, and that dog gets nervous. Have you ever seen a dog get nervous? You ever seen a dog just pace back and forth and just can hardly stand it? The dog is just absolutely ready to go berserk. And I can tell, Sadie, it's all right. It's just a thunderstorm. Finally, she'll go into her house and everything's okay. Well, you know, that's the way it is with a lot of us, God's people. We get worried about this and troubled about this. You say, but Pastor, how can I come to the Lord's table and not have anxiety? The word merimeo is the word anxious. As Paul wrote, to be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word, by the way, merimeo, the word for anxiety, I've told you this before, it pictures a dog going for the jugular vein. And you know what really worry is, truthfully? It's a low-grade fear. That's what it is. Why are we afraid? Why are we fearful? Is it we're saying, well, Pastor, I'll tell you why I'm worried. And we got a lot of things to be worried about if we let our worry control us. Number one, how many have been worried about your family? Yep. Truthfully now, let's just be truthful. You've been worried about your family. Some things have happened. Some things hadn't happened. But rather than worry, God wants us to learn to trust Him. The Lord wants us to learn to put our cares and worries at His feet. Will you do that today? It will bless you, I guarantee you. But secondly, how many of us truthfully have been worried about our finances? Yeah. You can tell a lot about a person by the, you know, well, what am I, you know, am I going to have enough in Social Security? And what if my retirement runs out? I won't be able to do all the stuff I need to do here and there. And so finances and money can be a issue. And by the way, couples today are squabbling over money. It seems like as much as any other issue in the marriage, money. But that's not the number one problem, by the way, in marriages. Selfishness and immaturity is, if you're wondering. But people say communication and money is the number one issues. But contrary to that, nonetheless, what are we worried about? No need to worry today if we'll take the Lord at His word. Well, you say, but what about the future? I don't know about 2017. I mean, Russia, and did they really hack into all this election stuff? And is all this bogus stuff? And is there anything to this? And what is the state of our economy? Is it going to rebound? Am I going to have enough? Et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what about my health? How many of you are worried about your health? Come on. You see somebody like Alice's mom, or you see somebody else going down, and my, it just makes you appreciate what God has done. So, number one, no need to worry as we come to the Lord's table and commune. There's a second holy heartburn. There's a second reason we ought to have sweet communion with our Lord today, and is this. It's the fact that, see if you agree, we've been too blessed to be stressed. I said we've been too blessed to be stressed. Have you been blessed? Have you? Are you so stressed that you forget you've been blessed? Are you really blessed? You know what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all you that labor. I think I need to pass this thing around. Pass that around. I want y'all to look at it. Pass that around. You need to look at this and let the truth of this, we're too blessed to be stressed. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Are you stressed today? Come on now, let's be honest. How many of you are stressed? Let me see your hand. Well, y'all won't have to be honest. I'm going to raise my hand because I've been stressed. Come on, talk to me. You've been stressed too. Let's just get honest. Hey, I've been stressed. I'll be honest with you. And if the Lord Jesus wasn't my Lord and Savior, I wouldn't be able to handle the things that come my way. I don't know about y'all, but hey, I need the Lord every day. Otherwise, I get stressed out. But you know, when we stop and think about it, we're too blessed to be stressed. Sister Jan, I will never forget Marie. Marie Lutcher went to be with the Lord on December the 23rd at about 1:50 in the afternoon. We were gathered around her bedside, Marie and her other sister, Misty. And as we gathered around her bedside and prayed, we finished and I said, let's pray. We prayed and said, amen. And we opened our eyes. Sister Marie was with the Lord in heaven. Isn't that a great way to go? God was so good. And so, but I'll never forget, Jan, when we were up at the hospital over in Rockdale County back in November, and your mom was telling me about her experiences as a child, namely how at the age of 6 years old, her dad died of TB, tuberculosis. Then she further told me, by the way, she's taking blood as she's telling me this. She's getting blood. And by the way, she has just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the liver and the pancreas. How many know that's enough to take the wind out of your sails? So keep it in context now. And so as she's getting blood, she says, you know, at 6 years old, my daddy died. She said, I was asking her about this, actually. And she said, my mama had tuberculosis as well, and she ended up in the hospital. So the end result, as a little child, I lived with my brother, I lived with my sister, and we ended up moving here and there. All she was saying was this, that as a little child at 6 years old, her world was turned upside down. And if you know, if you've been through that, you can probably relate. But you know what? She shared that. And then she said at the age of 17 years old, she said, Jesus Christ saved my soul, came into my heart. That's what she said. She said, I gave my heart, my life to the Lord Jesus. That's what those were her words. And he forgave me my sin. Here, I love what she said. She said, he cleansed the inside and the outside. He does that, doesn't he? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Anyway, but here's what she said. After she'd been sharing with me about her challenging, her adversity, her challenge and adversity as a young person. How many of you have been through adversity in your life? Yeah, how many are going through adversity right now? She looked at me and said this. She said, after she told me all that, she said, but God has been good to me. God has been good to me. Hey, this is a lady just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the liver and the pancreas. Now, that's one thing to say, God's been good to me while you're walking and you're not diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It's another thing when you've been hit with a bombshell that your life is fixing to end. And then you've been reflect on the things that you've gone through in your life. But in spite of what the devil does, God's still good, isn't he? And so that's the reason. Where's our pillow at? Somebody's taking that thing home. You can have it if you need it. I don't know where the... We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too blessed to be stressed. Yeah, thank you, Brother Ralph. That thing got to... Hey, too blessed to be stressed. Let's say that together. Too blessed to be stressed. Say it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all. So we ought to have sweet communion with the Lord today, realizing how good He's been to us, realizing, thank God, He's not going to leave us. And then thirdly, there's a third holy heartburn as we celebrate around the Lord's table today. It's not only to the Lord's table, no need to worry. That'll bless you right there. That was worth coming to church for, wasn't it? No need to worry. For somebody to tell you, there's no need for us to worry. But secondly, we've been blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Number three, there's a third holy heartburn. It's this: what's over our head is under His feet. And see, sometimes circumstances can get over our head. Can I get an amen? Y'all don't want to talk to me today. That's all right. Hey, because I know sometimes circumstances can get over our head. And you see, here's the deal. Peter jumped out of the boat, and next thing you know, he's sinking. The wind, the waves, he looked at it. It got over his head, but he cried out to the Lord Jesus. You know what we say to people? Here's what we say to people. How you doing? Well, under the circumstances. Don't we say that? Under the circumstances. Wait a minute. Are you supposed to be under the circumstances, or are you supposed to be over the circumstances? Are you under the circumstances? Hello. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. What's over our head is under His feet. All right? What's over our head is under His feet. You agree with that? If you don't agree with that, no wonder you might be stressed and worried. But everything that you will face and I will face in this life, it's over our head, perhaps, the adversity, but it's under His feet. It's under His feet, and we can see that clearly in Matthew chapter 14. Give me your example. Alice's dad, named Walker Kitchens. How many know Walker Kitchens? You know, I shared this at his homegoing, at her mom's homegoing service. From July the 29th to December the 30th, that's a long time, 5 months. 5 months. And I don't know when the last time you slept at the hospital. I'm not talking about a cot. I'm not talking about a mattress, a foam mattress. I'm talking about on the concrete floor. They will not let you have a mattress or a cot. You have to sleep on the concrete floor. Maybe a sheet or blanket or something under you. How many of you know 73-year-old men would stay at the hospital weeks at a time sleeping on the floor? In ICU. Matter of fact, I didn't say this at the homegoing service, Alice, but I just think that your dad deserves an honorary doctor's degree. You want to know something about medicine? Ask Walker Kitchen. He can tell you. I'm just kidding, kind of, sort of, but really, I mean, do you realize what that is, 5 months? Do you realize how long that is? You realize how many weeks that is of you staying at the bedside of a loved one who's on a breathing machine, who gets better and goes down and gets better and goes down? You might have done that. I tell you what, it'd take God's grace. Somebody say amen. Oh, my soul. But what's over our head is under His feet. And God gives grace. And praise God, He gives more grace when we need it. Amen and amen. But there's a fifth holy heartburn. Not only does the things that are over our head under His feet, but number five, how many believe that God is going to give us strength for the journey? No matter what you face in 2017, God will give you strength for the journey. I love that. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, I'm using Matthew. We could use some parallel passages. For example, Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But in Matthew 17, Jesus said, if you have faith of a mustard seed. He was in the context of coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you have faith in God? Do you really have faith in God? Hey, look, here's the deal. There's strength for the journey. God said, I'm going to give you strength. Whatever obstacles, whatever challenge you face in the coming year, there will be strength for the journey, and the church said. Hallelujah. And then whatever number we're on, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. We ought to come to the Lord's table today and say, Lord, there's no need for me to be worried. There's no need for me to be anxious, number one. And number two, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Number three, what's over my head is under His feet. My circumstances, I might not be able to control them, but God is in control. Number four, strength for the journey. Number five, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Jesus prayed in the garden. Remember, after He left that scene in the upper room, where did He go? He went to the garden. What did he pray? He prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will be done. Say it with me. Thy will be done. Say it again. That's where the breakthrough comes. It was last week Saturday of last week when we gathered there at Alice and Chris's house and gathered around the bedside on Saturday. Little did we know that Mary would go out into her heavenly home within 48 hours. I had no idea. I don't think Alice had any idea. Nobody in the family had any idea. They just moved her from Macon, keep in mind, 5 months, to their home, and thus they were trying to make the transition and the adjustments that were needed. And it appeared that everything was going to be all right and just need to get some the right kind of medicine, et cetera, et cetera. At any rate, here's what happened. As I went to their house on Saturday, New Year's Eve, I looked at Mary and I asked her how she was doing, and she said, she shook her head, and I said, Mary, are you concerned? And she shook her head, and I said, are you afraid? And she shook her head, yes. And I said, what are you afraid of? And I want to ask you the same thing. I mean, keep in mind what all she'd been through. She's still on a tracheotomy, breathing machine. I said, what are you afraid of? She said, dying. I could hear her. She was conscious, coherent. She said, dying. And I began to recall and begin to think about people like Marie Luttrell and people that I'd had the privilege of being with so many through the years. And I shared with her, I said, well, I understand there's a little bit of apprehension. There's a little bit of uncertainty. How many know there's a little bit of uncertainty when you come to that point, when you cross over? You've not been there. You don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like. But I said this to her, I guarantee you, God will be with you and the Lord will carry you safe on the other side. I've seen it too many times, beloved, and it's just a blessing. But there's that element of trust. Why? Because fear is going to paralyze us at that moment. The devil's going to be hitting us. But you know what? And I got to make this short. My time's about gone. Thank you for giving me a little bit more than 15 minutes. Anyway, here's what I ask her to do, and that's what I want to impart unto you. Will you say to God right now, not my will, but your will be done? And she prayed it right there on the bed, didn't she, Alice? Right there. She said, not my will, God, but your will be done. The peace of God. I just sensed it. I could tell. The peace of God. Hey, how many know God's real? And I just love to see God work in situations like that and see God minister. To him be glory. It just makes me want to take my shoes off. He's real. And he gave such peace to Alice. In fact, after that, on New Year's Day, I ended up going back over, and she was not doing well on New Year's Day up into the wee hours of the night. And then on Monday, as we gathered around her bedside on Monday, approximately about 6:45, I believe it was, or 6:30, somewhere in that neighborhood, she went to be with the Lord. But Alice told me this. I didn't know that. I asked Alice specifically. I said, Alice, did you ever see any fear or worry? Did your mom ever talk about being afraid after she prayed, not my will, but your will be done, God? And Alice said, no. Alice said, God gave her such grace. I'm about to start shouting. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. I'm telling you, the next time you're around the bedside of a loved one and they're reaching out to you, asking you, they're fixing to die. What are you going to tell them? What are you going to say? You can tell them just what I said. God's grace will be sufficient. And the church said, hallelujah. No pain, no gain. And then after that, God said he'll turn our ashes into beauty and our garments into praise in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And then finally, the Lord said he'd turn our prayer of faith. He would answer the prayer of faith because he's the God of all grace. I'll close with this. I want you to hear a message that I got just Friday. A pastor called from down in Florida, And we'd gone to visit this lady. I'm talking about answered prayer. Holy heartburn. How many believe God still answers prayer? 2017. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. I don't know what you're asking Him for. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. This is Rudy Howard. I think you're kin to him, aren't you, Vicky? Listen, we visited a lady that was kin to you, by the way. And this is Pastor Rudy calling me. We're talking about answered prayer, all right? He called me, this is Friday, and left this message.
Providence Baptist Church of Rudy. I run into the lady that we prayed with in Orange Park Hospital, Carolyn Glisson. And the hour after we had left, the physical therapist come in, and she got up and walked complete lap around the whole complex there.
The hospital.
And 2 days later, she got out of the hospital, and she just wanted to thank you and me for being obedient to the Lord. So I just figured I'd give you a good word. You have a...
Isn't that a blessing? Let's praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Let's stand together, can we, as we dismiss.